Please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that teaches us the truth. And we don't make the statement that Pilate did when he said, "What is truth?" and walked away. So many people have a hard time understanding that. And it's not really something we can preach. But you can certainly teach us. And we thank you so much for that. Please bless everyone here in attendance, Lord. And please bless everyone on our prayer list. And thank you for the showbread that is being changed today on Sabbath day as you promised. And we lift up this prayer unto you, Father, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. A Some of you may know, I've been putting off doing this sermon for months. I don't remember how long ago I actually penned it. It's been, you know, well, the Lord gave me the notes on it anyway. He writes them, of course. None of us have written the Bible. And, I mean, it just seemed like the timing was right, because I didn't want to do it when we were under a major attack, for one thing, because I don't want anyone to think it's all about one person attacking. It's about all of them. You know, because we don't want to give recognition to those that hate the truth, even if it's on the negative end of things, because they feel they've, you know, struck a nerve or whatever. But now that things are fairly calm, you know, and we all know that that's just, it's not going to last for any length of time. And as we get closer to the end, we know that the obedient people of God are going to be attacked in very crafty ways so as to slow the work prophesied upon them. You know, I've witnessed these attacks for just over 30 years now. And as many of you know, it started with my siblings when I left the Catholic Church back in the 1980s. As obedient Christians, we are confronted by many liars who claim to have good intentions, but they are moved by the father of lies to get us off the task set before us, because we are called to do as the Lord said in Isaiah 58:12, which is, "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." So, as prophesied, we see many false teachers, preachers, and even a couple of dozen out there that actually claim to be Christ himself walking in the flesh on earth today. We also see the days of Lot are upon us, in that homosexual marriage is accepted by all secular and religious leaders as the norm. And thanks to the U.S. government flying the homosexual flag at the U.S. embassies, Rome's homosexual agenda is going global, just as we've been saying for decades. Earthquakes have increased each and every week to nearly 1,500 quakes a week on average. I mean, Brother Daniel just showed last night, it was like, what, 1,478 since last Sabbath evening? You know, once in a while we get the occasional week that surpasses that number by hundreds. We see all the churches are forsaking the law of God. The love of many is waxing cold, and Christian persecution has literally grown to where one Christian is being killed for their faith every 2 minutes. And that number is increasing as we speak, now that Obama freed some high-ranking officials in the Taliban so as to strengthen their war against the Christians in the Middle East. And then he's backing out completely, acting like he's just letting Iraq sit there on its own, when in fact the Christians are going to get wiped out. As the prophet Hosea also predicted, all the animals, the insects, the fish, and the birds are dying in massive numbers all over the world right before it ends. That's been going on for years now. There's a page on my website where I was listing them, and it got so overwhelming, so much coming in, I just left it. It's just, I can't keep up with it. It's just too much. And I only had that page up for a few months, and it's got thousands of situations where it's these animals and insects, they're all dying. And the weather. I mean, some of us from children knew that the weather on our planet was going to change everything into a strange new world. I mean, especially in our neck of the woods here in the Midwest, where the polar vortex now causes winter to be a few months longer, or 2 months at least. And that, in turn, shortens the growing season to some extent. I'm waiting to see how it's going to affect the farmers, because the farmers, they usually drag their feet in regards to planting here. And so they, you know, because most of the crop they got is GMO'd anyway, so it's going to grow extra quick. It can actually grow when it's hot with hardly any water, because of the way it's been designed. But your little mom-and-pop gardens out there, if you ain't got a greenhouse, it's going to be difficult to get a crop in, because you got to wait until the warm weather comes. And if it keeps dragging out and dragging out, by the time it's ready for crop, snow's already coming again. And then you got calamities in nature as well as man-made disasters occurring so often now, it's very difficult to keep up with that either. I got to the point where I asked Brother Craig. He made a page on his website where he just keeps up with the disasters. Once in a while, I'll throw him some of the things that are happening, and then he puts them on the site, or he'll do it too. It's just, it's that bad. And then worse yet, there are now so many diseases, and I remember mentioning this a few months ago or even a year or so ago in regards to that Near the End series that I did, and there's so many diseases now that scientists can't keep up with them either. They have to use high-end computers with large databases to keep up with the increase in disease. The image of the beast has literally been formed now by all the lukewarm churches so as to bolster Rome's power across the globe, using churches to do it, because we all know that absolute power corrupts absolutely. Then you got seducing spirits or controlling souls every minute of the day, using everything from simple music to hardened drugs. And then the mainstream media is purposely doing all they can right now to hide the prophetic events that have been fulfilled so as to have an air of peace and safety to keep the people relaxed and happy, as prophecy also predicted. And yeah, a new world order has been established wherein the Club of Rome literally controls the planet via 10 separate regions. It's on paper, but you can also see it, the talking points in the media. It's already here. And Sunday laws are being drafted into all those constitutions of every nation on earth that are being forced to change them. Even here in the U.S., I did a couple of videos on it. They're changing our constitution. Pretty soon it's going to be finalized, and you'll see what happens. And all the tools that are needed to enforce the mark of the beast are presently being tested by all governments under Rome's thumb right now. So when it comes to the signs in the heavens, too, I mean, everything from meteors thundering through the atmosphere, like it did in Russia last year, to a cloud moving closer to the earth from Orion Nebula, confirming Jesus is soon to come. So that being said, is it any wonder Satan's going to do all he can to hinder the work of the remnant people? Prophecy said will proclaim the loud cry that repairs the breach made in the wall by the untempered mortar placed there by the Roman Sunday worship. I mean, we know the wall in prophecy is the law of God. If we obey, it protects us, as a wall protected Jerusalem of old. I mean, it even says in Proverbs 25, verse 28, that he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So those of you with an anger problem, you might want to repeat that one daily. And then Paul even used the wall and the law as a way to expose the counterfeit Christian. In Acts chapter 23, verse 3, then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? So as the wall is a symbol of both protection and God's law, a whited wall has the appearance of the same, but is obviously a fake, as were the leaders in the church 2,000 years ago. I mean, do you recall how Jesus rebuked the leaders in Matthew 23, 27? He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres," or tombs, "which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness." I mean, these passages always remind me of the leaders in all the churches, including the ones that most of us here have left, wherein they claim to be commandment keepers, or Sabbath keepers even, like the SDAs do. And therefore they appear as a whited wall, as Paul said, or a whited sepulchre, as Jesus said. But since we now have decades of fruits to inspect, we see their actions are contrary to that law. When speaking of the law as a wall, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 13 says, "Therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant." The sin of replacing God's commandment with man's tradition is iniquity, and it has made a breach in that wall. And how many of us have heard Sunday keepers declare over the years that they see no wrong in keeping 9 of the 10 commandments, but when it comes to number 4, the Sabbath commandment, they somehow have issue with it. It is here we see the breach that they made in the wall, and it is here we see our duty is to repair this breach they made in that wall, according to Isaiah 58:12, what he said earlier about were the repairs of the breach. So, repeating, but adding verse 13 to the mix, Isaiah chapter 58, verses 12 and 13 says, "And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor seeking thine own words, on the Sabbath day, of course. I mean, we know, according to 1 John 3:4, that sin is the transgression of the law. Here we see that Isaiah declares sin to be a breach in the wall, and he likens the breach in the wall to the breaking of commandment number 4. Therefore, as prophecy already defined in Proverbs 25:28, we truly see that the wall is the law of protection, as also declared in Proverbs 7:2, when it says, "Keep my commandments and live." When you look into the statement of faith of the Seventh-day Remnant people, or any obedient soul that knows the Lord as we do, they don't have to call themselves SDR, you see here a perfect match to that which is written in his Word, right down to the whole duty of man that Ecclesiastes 12:13 speaks of, wherein keeping his commandments is the whole duty of man. That's what makes us peculiar in the Old Testament, or virgins in the New. We're not like those other women. I mean, Revelation even says that we're not defiled by those women, and we know women, Jeremiah 6:2, is the church, the false churches. We're not defiled by. Yeah, we look peculiar to them. Some of them even call us fanatics or cults because we don't do like they do. Could you imagine what they said about Noah and his family right before it started raining? I mean, being as it is, we have to then realize without the slightest doubt that we're going to be targeted by those that hate our Lord and His law. And it's not just preachers and active workers that get attacked. Every single true child of God is to experience strange trials in a multitude of ways. Some are going to be big, yeah, and some are going to be little. It has to do with where you are in your walk as to how the trial is going to be allowed. 1 Corinthians 10:13 holds true even there. These trials will be everything from people slandering us, as they did our Lord and King 2,000 years ago in the courts of the Pharisee, to actual attacks upon our health and welfare. Satan knows who it is that will repair the breach he made back in 321 AD, when the Sabbath of God was replaced by the Sabbath of Rome and the apostate churches on the exact same date of March 7th that they enforced the 501c3 today in 2006. Exact same date. There's a reason they always like to use the same dates. It's like with the starting of the church. The UN and the United Religions Initiatives. Same date, June 26. One was in 1948. The other one was in the year 2000. And so, it is here Satan's going to focus his efforts today on us, against us. And I mentioned those that aren't actively working as well, because if you know the truth as we do, you are called to proclaim this truth and not bury that which he has entrusted you with. I mean, common sense grants us the understanding that the truths we embrace are not known by the churches. And yes, this includes the SDA Church, who has demonstrated her allegiance to the world in that she openly embraces the Pope as a holy man, homosexual marriage as Christian standard, and even Allah as God. But nothing says they have stepped away from the Lord more than the fact that they have been beneficial in creating an image to the beast in Rome. I mean, nothing shouts, "They are now like all the rest who are prophetically blind by their disobedience," any more than that long prophesied fruit of the apostate churches that openly joined with Rome in their war against God's remnant people in the last days. If you want more information on that, just go to my Image of the Beast page on the website. I think I got a link to it in the notes below. Still, the question resides in the hearts of many new to this truth, as well as those already established in the truth for years. How does the enemy of souls get those that do the work of God in these last days slowed down to a crawl? Well, he does so in the very same way he did back in Nehemiah's day. This attack upon Nehemiah and his workers was recorded in the Bible for our benefit, because Isaiah said we're going to be the repairers. So the Lord made sure that Nehemiah's experience, if you will, was put to paper. Our Lord knows that once Satan finds a method that works on God's people, he's going to use it again and again and again. I mean, this is why you see people preaching today that when Jesus comes, it's going to be 1,000 years of peace. It's the same falderall they preached back 2,000 years ago when the Pharisees said, when Messiah comes, there'll be all this peace. They're going to destroy Rome. And same crazy theology. Why? Is he repeating it today? Because it worked so well back then. You know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know, that's an old standard. So, let's do as our Lord would have us do, and look into what Nehemiah went through so as to learn how to strengthen our efforts in this final task that's set before us as the remnant people. We're the repairers of the breach, so we got some work to do, and we're going to get attacked for it. But how? Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says this, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, I guess, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up." There's no coincidence here either that the wall is being mentioned here. This is one of the beauties of the scriptures. You see the prophetic symbolism as well as in the literal. It's amazing how our Lord does that. I mean, you go to sleep every night and you wake up in the morning, right? Well, death and resurrection. You got all these four different seasons of the, you know, even the planet, death and resurrection. I mean, it's just amazing how his truth impermeates every aspect of life. So anyway, these guys heard, it says, that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped. And then they were very wroth or angry and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Some of you remember a video that was made by some people that were attacking our church about a year ago. They actually conspired together to fight against the truth we preach to hinder it. Remember that? So anyway, just as we see many people that are angry at those of us doing the work of repairing the breach in the wall in our day, Sanballat and his friends were moved by Satan to use all sorts of ways to try and stop the repairing of the breach in their day. But did you notice? What did Nehemiah instruct the people to do when Sanballat came near to tempt them away from the task at hand? One more verse down. Verse 9 in Nehemiah chapter 4. It says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." So praying to the Lord was and always will be an obvious plan of defense for the obedient child of God, as well as the best option we have as far as I'm concerned in any situation. I've seen our Father's hand move against those harboring Sanballat's demons many times the last 30 years, and I've also seen how prayer causes them to falter. But how does one set a watch against Sanballat day and night, as Nehemiah did? I mean, do we respond to every attack they levy against us by stopping the work we're doing so as to address their numerous concerns? Do we acknowledge them by reading every email they send, and no matter how long and how drawn out it may be? Do we watch every video they make that slanders us or even twists the written word of God? Do we step off the wall we are called to repair and discuss their concerns, even though we know for a fact they ignore the truth we present, and then turn and rend us for sharing it? Now, this may surprise some of you, but first of all, yeah. At times, we are supposed to answer them. But this is only when someone approaches that appears legit and seems to display a seeking heart. In other words, the first time you see them. As Christians, we are to do all we can to help them. That is the Christian duty. But when they ignore every attempt in sharing Scripture, we are counseled by our Lord to walk away. It says in Titus 3:10, "A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject." The Lord set that method of evangelization up like that for a reason. Ever notice when you ignore this simple command that the Lord had, you know, penned in the book of Titus? I mean, what happens? Have you ever noticed this? Those of you that you're trying to help often get very angry with you, don't they? And some get so angry that they'll send out mass emails slandering you, they'll make strange videos about you, and even phone calls all hours of the night to do their best to drive you over the brink. But were we not warned they would do this by our precious Lord and King? I mean, Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 6, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn and rend you." When they display the fruits of swine, or as one who hates the truth, we are to stop casting the pearls. Question. Did Nehemiah ignore God's will placed upon his heart to waste time dilly-dallying with Sanballat and his friends every time they came up to him on the wall? No, he didn't. He did as God moved him to do every time Sanballat came near. When Sanballat approached, we see Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3 say this. It says that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us reason, or let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Did you notice that? Nehemiah said, they thought to do me mischief, did he not? The only way Nehemiah would have known that they thought to do him mischief is if he already knew about Sanballat and his fruits. When someone is ignoring the truth you share, you then know for a fact they are trampling the word of God underfoot and plan to do you mischief, just as Sanballat did. Nehemiah didn't just come up with that revelation out of the blue. I mean, only God can read the hearts of men, right? So we have to do our legwork. I would think that most obedient Christians have enough wisdom to know when they're being played. Nehemiah met Sanballat, watched how he reacted to his work, and simply acted accordingly. I mean, when a soldier watching on the wall sees the enemy coming towards him, does he run out to greet the guy with, you know, milk and cookies? Or does that obedient soldier on the wall do as his commander instructed him to do when the enemy approaches? Well, are we not in a holy war right now, brothers and sisters? Are we not called watchmen on the wall? And do we not have a heavenly commander in Jesus Christ our King? When we see a person doing as our Lord says the enemy will do, we must then do exactly as our Savior, Lord, King, and Commander instructs us, because to do otherwise makes us a rebel in His army, and we are a rebel against our Heavenly Commander-in-Chief, and a deserter to the heavenly cause. Either you do as your Lord says, or you don't. There's just no gray areas there. Either He's Lord or He's not. To be Lord means whatever He says, I believe it, that settles it. If He's not Lord, whatever He believes, oh, it's subject to translation. Well, then He's not your Lord. Your brain is, or something else is. So as the Lord brings into the church those that are truly converted, we know Satan will also bring those that are not converted. I mean, after all, Jesus had his Judas, did he not? We have so many prophetic utterances of this reality all throughout the Word of God that I don't need to list them all to confirm this as fact. I mean, if you read your Bible, you know that being Christian means we have enemies to contend with until we leave this planet. In fact, some will even be in our own homes. For it is written in both the Old and New Testament the following facts. It says in Micah chapter 7, verse 6, for the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. And then it says in Matthew 10, 36, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. My wife and I saw firsthand a few decades ago when we decided to leave the Roman Catholic Church how this comes to fruition. I mean, every one of our siblings lashed out as if we were hardened criminals. And the strange thing was, none of them were regular churchgoers to begin with, and even if they did, it wouldn't make any difference because Catholicism's not Christianity. And not a single one of them ever read a Bible. That meant it was their sinfulness that angered them with the evil thought, and that's always how it works. They had an evil thought that we're acting as if we were better than they because now we're Christians. But we never thought that for a minute. And the truth is, if they read their Bibles, they would know that Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 35, that if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. I mean, we simply had a desire in our hearts to warn them of danger because we love them and that love angered them just as much as it angered Sanballat, or even Pharaoh in his day, remember? God sent the same love to Moses that he sent to Pharaoh. But that love melted Moses' heart, but it hardened Pharaoh's heart. And you could even see this in nature, too, or the perfection of truth. Take a lump of wax and a lump of clay, put it out in the desert. The sunlight doesn't change. It's still sunlight. It's the same sunlight as the same sunlight that hits the wax melts it, but it hardens the clay. So, as the Lord is showing the goods, you know, sowing the good seed into the church, Satan is most assuredly spreading his weeds among the wheat. As some of you may have already discovered, there are some that claim to be one with us in name and duty when in fact they are not. They appear to be Christian, they have a gentle disposition to act as if they have been with Christ, and they even weep and put on an air of concern when the lies they preach are exposed as lies by those concerned for them. In many cases, they look as if they are Christian, but Psalms 55, verse 21 clearly says, "The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords." Amen. Wolf in sheep's clothing. They may weep on camera or even before the eyes of witnesses, claiming they were wronged in some way by the remnant people, but notice their fruits being displayed on a regular basis on their websites or their videos or their mass emails. Lies, false doctrines, pride, and even murderous hatred has been the norm by those, for those that on one stage declare themselves the victims and on the other, absolute monsters. In fact, this is why our Lord shared the parable of the wheat and tares in Matthew 13 in the first place. Have you ever seen a tare? It looks just, and I just found this out about, I don't know, when we first moved out to Indiana, I started hanging with this one preacher out here. And we were walking on this wooded path, and there was wheat growing on the edge of the path. He says, "Wow, look at this, there's wheat growing out here." He says, "No, those are tares." Really? I was from Illinois, I never saw a tare in my life. Because they have wheat fields out here too. The farmer that owns the land around us, every now and then, just last year, he had a winter wheat. And so, it looks just like a sprig of wheat, but only early in the season. Well, this is why the demon of Sanballat works so well against the innocent people of God. He appears to be a brother or a sister in Christ to you when you first meet. And so your defenses are down to some extent. I mean, you should never have them all the way down. You can only trust Jesus. And this is why it's so important, by the way, to stay in the Word of God daily as well as pray without ceasing, as Paul says. If you don't know the difference between a child of God or a child of the devil, those that carry the demon of Sanballat, they're going to have their way with you. So when you have the Word of God well planted in the fertile soil of your heart, the promised wisdom from the Lord is yours to use, and it will help you guide and even guard you from such as these. If at first you see no danger, then watch them for a little while. There's no sin in that. Just watch them for a little while. I mean, the lost can no more hide the fruits of Satan any more than a Christian can hide the fruits of Jesus. Eventually, their loyalty is going to become very apparent. And this is another reason why some of us are going to have the wool pulled over our eyes. If you have a lot of online friends. This happened to me some time ago because the man that I trusted was thousands of miles away. You can't see their fruits on a daily basis. I mean, one thing I like about living in the last days is the fact that the latter rain is pouring as we speak. I mean, that means we have the tools needed to not only do the work, but we can easily see the dangers all around us. It is raining, yes, but it is soon to become a downpour that falls abundantly on the obedient so as to bring about a mighty harvest of souls. It is during this harvest time that we can literally gain the upper hand. What I mean is, have you ever seen what that tare looks like next to the ripened sprig of real wheat a day or so before they do the harvest out here? Well, or in your neck of the woods? Well, look at an encyclopedia. Look it up on YouTube. All throughout the season, right before the harvest even sometimes, that's why they wait. The farmer can wait, and then all of a sudden, it's just like the wheat just pop open or something. All throughout the season, the tare and the wheat appear identical as they wave in the wind growing in the fields day by day. It just looks the same. This is why the sower said not to pluck them till the harvest in that parable that Christ shared. They look so much like the wheat, you may uproot the wheat as well. It's only during the time of the harvest that they are easily distinguished as weeds. The true wheat is plump, and the kernel is full, just as the true Christian will be filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and the fruits will be clearly visible to all. The tares, on the other hand, I mean, they still do look the same as they did months prior, as it stood next to the wheat, waving in the same wind or same doctrinal agreements in the field we have. because we know what wind means in prophecy. So if you're in your Bible daily and on your knees often, your lamp will be well trimmed and filled to the brim with the precious and eternal oil of the Holy Spirit, so as to see what your Lord needs you to see when you need to see it. Being as such, you will have the eyes that see the lifeless fruit of Sanballat and his cohorts when they creep upon you, because you've done your homework and you've passed the tests and therefore have gained the wisdom needed to be an effective watchman on the wall. Yes, he or she may still claim to be your brother or sister in Christ, just as the tares appear to be wheat waving in the same wind. But Jesus said in Matthew 7:20 that it's by their fruits you shall know them, and tares have no fruit. It's just not there. So eventually it's going to be seen. I mean, truth is, brothers and sisters, as students of prophecy, we have expected this for quite some time now. I mean, they're going to insist on being called by our name so as to lure souls into the camp by using our name. I mean, just look at the name Christian today. I mean, they have no power or blessing from on high to do the task without stealing our name. Once the soul steps into their camp, they slander us, they twist the truths we preach, and even boldly invent spurious doctrines, acting as if the Bible says we agree with them. I mean, look around. This is an age-old tactic of Satan. There are now over 30,000 Christian denominations out there. Whenever a group of people start to follow the Lord in obedience, they become a target of hell, and in comes Sanballat and his friends to split up the church. We are a threat. But the nice thing is, we're the final threat. According to prophecy, we will overcome to glorify the Lord, and we will soon be home. Also notice there will be strange and different Sanballats that will be sent by Satan that are ever so slightly just outside the church and the truth that we embrace. For example, when the one speaking to preach, like you're speaking to, preaches another Jesus unto you, is known to be a 501c3 pastor like all the Catholics or the Protestants or the SDA ministers of today, you're instructed of the Lord to have nothing to do with them. I mean, this is where being in the last days makes it a little bit easier to avoid such situations. I mean, the Bible says you can't even touch what they have to offer. Our Lord clearly instructed Paul to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, that wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Some within our number have been tempted over the years to use old Seventh-day Adventist sermons, studies, and even videos and websites as a way to share our faith. But I gotta ask, is that a wise act to do? You know they're on the same page as we are around 80 to 90% of the time, but you also know they are just enough off the page of truth so as to make their message deadly to the souls that do come their way. And if you are one that sent them, you're going to be held accountable. What if they liked the Seventh-day Adventist preacher that you sent them to and then joined his church? Because there's just no church in their neck of the woods. They don't understand the theology behind the Gideon Band, and they don't realize that the Lord has us scattered for a reason. I mean, are you prepared for that type of chastisement from on high? I mean, it's a scary thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. I mean, there's no gray areas in the word. Be ye separate. Pretty plain. I mean, over the years, I've seen this method of attack on the souls become very effective in pulling them off the task at hand. For example, some time ago, I was associated with a man we all thought was of our number. He was tens of thousands of miles away, and so I knew very little of his fruits and had to rely on the witness of others. Problem was, those witnesses, who were also only maybe a few thousand miles away, were later discovered to actually be Sanballat himself. They ignored his evil fruits of the previous man and never told me about them. Being young in the truth, I fell for the trap and did allow this man that was tens of thousands of miles away to use a portion of my website that outlines the man of sin and the Antichrist in detail so that he can start his own website. Within weeks of giving him that permission, a website was created by him that preached our message. Many souls were drawn into the ministry because the truth of our Lord had penned, that he penned, was bringing them in. Nothing that we did, it was just, truth is truth. But suddenly they started to report back to me that, hey, did you know that this guy is also saying that the Sabbath has changed because of the lunar cycles, and Did you also know that this guy says Jesus isn't God? The Holy Spirit doesn't exist at all? I mean, this man was evil, and he hated the truth as it is written. His mission was to bring as many as he could into his website by using our truth to present his lies. He knew that many may learn to trust him and believe his lies because the truth he borrowed from us made him appear to be trustworthy. Many souls are now thoroughly confused so as to what's really happening in the prophetic realm due to the efforts of this evil man, and it was all because I was led astray about his agenda by people I trusted as members in the church. Now, look at it this way. If you left the Seventh-day Adventist church, or any other church for whatever reason, and then you see no wrong in using SDA sermons, tracts, videos, and websites to share your faith, I mean, will you not also see what I saw eventually? I mean, yes, much of what the SDA church preaches agrees with what we preach, but they also have some very deadly fruits and false doctrines that will confuse the souls you send them to the point many will actually end up in hellfire for it. Do you want those souls on your record? I mean, I was lied to point blank, and I truly thought that evil man was from my past was a man of God. So, and I repented of it anyway, even though I was not at fault, because of the way he used my work to manipulate souls. I was just hornswoggled. I still asked the Lord for forgiveness for being stupid enough to miss that. But all of us here know for a fact that the SDA Church and all its leaders are, in fact, very dangerous now. We know this. This is why the majority of you are ex-SDA. If you still send people to hear their sermons, though, or their videos, or their websites, when you have a Bible in your hand, and you can use that Bible to share what they need to hear, or you have many SDR studies, sermons, videos, and websites to use. I mean, go to the links page on my site. We've got tons of SDR information out there now. I mean, if you don't use that as you should, then you're knowingly disobeying your Lord and purposely place souls in danger. If this is what, I mean, you don't have to rely on my site or Craig's site or Ace's site or anybody else's site for that matter. If you got a Bible, but if you want a couple of studies that, you know, will cut some hours and maybe weeks off of your work, hey, you could borrow our studies. That's what they're there for. I mean, if this is what you have done in the past, like using SDA stuff, and you caused some people danger, and you didn't realize it was wrong to do, don't worry about it. Do not worry about it. No sin was committed by you, because it clearly says in Acts 17:30 that the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. In other words, we are only judged by the light we understand. He's a father. He's not a tyrant. But as of today, you now know it's wrong to do this. If you do this tomorrow, then you're going to be guilty. For it is written in 1 Corinthians 10:21 that ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. When you share your faith or cup of the Lord with a soul he sends your way, because he's the one sending him, and then you send them to an SDA or similar church website with a smattering of truth, well, you know, okay, fine, the guy's, you know, SDA, and he's a problem and all, but this one sermon's powerful. Yeah, just powerful enough to so that the soul that you sent them to goes, man, I like that preacher. I'm joining his church. And then he says goodbye to you. That's the risk you're running. You're presenting to them the cup of the devil to get additional information. That means you're doing exactly as the Word of God said not to do, and the Lord will have no choice but to react to your free will choice to ignore his warning in doing such things. And claiming the SDA church you send him to or her to is conservative or disconnected from the church, you know, or the conference, won't work with God. For he knows they still claim the name and they still have the 501c3 agreement with the government to join their church with their state, proving that even as conservatives, they are helping to create the image of the beast. And I will close on this final point. If you left the Catholic, Baptist, Lutheran, Pentecostal, or even SDA church, when the Holy Spirit moved upon you in Revelation 18, verses 1 to 5, promised he would among his people, which you are, why, I ask, do you feel it's okay to go back into the same church that he asked you to leave to hear what they have to say? I mean, that boggles my mind. And yes, when you read a sermon, watch a video, or listen to a study by one of those preachers in your old church that you know is a part of the fallen churches, Sisters of Babylon, or Babylon itself in Rome. I mean, after all, did you leave them or did you not leave them? I mean, if you go back like this, then you are literally touching the unclean thing. And back inside the church for that moment, the Lord said, don't even touch. He doesn't have to get much more graphic than that. Is it not plain that the Lord said, you must, obey? And then the minute you obey or not even touch the unclean thing or whatever they have to offer, if you want the Lord to be a father, and then he'll receive you, he said in that passage I shared earlier. I mean, do you really want the Lord to receive you? I mean, that's the bottom line here. If you do, then obey him. And no, this is not Nicholas making these statements so as to keep the flock pumping tithes into his ministry or keep the numbers up in the chat room or gain hits to the website. First of all know I never ask for donations on a pulpit. You also know the tithe is your duty. I don't have to tell you to do that. If you don't do it, you're in sin. Period. You're robbing God. That's what the Bible says. And if you misunderstand and never heard that before, go to the tithes page on my website. It's in the Bible Truth section. You also know I didn't write the Bible. So, I don't ask for your donations. The tithe is your duty. And I didn't write the Bible. Our Lord did that. I'm only a messenger, just like any other obedient pastor who shares with you what you or anyone else can easily find within the 66 books of the Bible. Everybody here should be, myself included, should be Bereans. Double check what's being said by me or any preacher on these pulpits. You know, one of the most amazing things about being a preacher is absolutely everyone I meet has the ability to check into what I'm saying. It's that easy to expose the preachers out there. And that's why they get angry with us. They don't have anything on us. And the reason being is we use the Bible the way it's intended to be used. They use bits and pieces of it as the old prophecy of the defiled bread predicted they would. When you disobey the written command of God, you are stating you really don't cherish him as your father. And so, as he also promised, he's going to leave your side. I mean, after all, he has given you free will, has he not? And when he leaves your side, then all that Sanballat has to offer will be yours for the taking. And as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 warns, those that take this path, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. What does he allow you to believe? Or why does he allow you to believe the lie? Well, it's simple. There are only going to be two outcomes in the lives of those he created. Only two. No gray areas. Either go to heaven or hell, right? So either you believe his truth, or you believe the lies of his enemy. If you choose the latter, then the Lord allows his enemy to be a god to you, because that is what you truly want by choice. And seeing how the God, the true God of creation, blesses only his obedient children with strong truths as their obedience and love for him grows, so shall Satan give what he has to offer to those that obey and love him. If you love God, a strong understanding comes to you, so that you believe and grow in his truths. If you love Satan, a strong delusion comes, that you should believe and eventually wither and die in the lies that he presents. I hope and pray that you are blessed this Sabbath day.
A time to mourn and a time to dance, a time
If you can kneel, please do so. We'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for bridling my tongue and every tongue that may have spoken, even in the text chat. We thank you for blessing us in this week ahead. Give us opportunities to share our faith with as many as you send. Show us who the Sanballats are and who to avoid. And thank you for giving us a desire deep in our hearts to please you and to glorify you. Thank you once again for the forgiveness of sin and for blessing everybody on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. And we lift this prayer unto you, Father, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.